when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. God bless all you people for tuning in. And where are you tuning in? You're tuning in to Blood River Radio. That's right, Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and this is Blood River Radio. Is the only radio show, the only radio broadcast that in the United States that I know of. Our sole mission is to fight against global white genocide. And that mission will never change as long as all of us we're alive here. As long as I'm alive and the blood and our precious family co-hosts, etc. We're all one family. There's no big Indians here. Anyway, you're listening, like I said, Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and it is January the 14th in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Almighty. The only name under the sun which man can be saved is Jesus Christ. Yes, folks, Jesus Christ Almighty. He came to earth on his own free will. His Father, God Almighty, sent him. I know it's complicated. It's complicated for me. It's called the Blessed Trinity, which I believe, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Saved my sorry soul about, over 10 years ago. But anyway, while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us. Well, there's nothing whatsoever we can do to be saved on our own. You cannot work your way to heaven. There's only one way, and you have to become a follower of Jesus Christ Almighty. It's a free gift. With that, people, you also know that we always have a prayer before we go anywhere on this show. So if you will, just bow your head in prayer, people. Almighty Father God, the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of all the seen and unseen, we come to you here to ask you to protect us, to protect your remnant, the few people left on the earth that still honor your son, that worship your son, that worship you, that try to do your will as best we can. Lord, we are probably in more danger now than we've ever have been. I know in my lifetime, and that's not a long time, for the age of the earth, as you well know, Lord. But we are really close, it looks like, to going to an all-out nuclear war, to bring out what the Bible calls Armageddon. And, Lord, all this seems to be directed against your people, the remnant, the people that worship Jesus Christ. And like it or not, people out there, if the people, the most hated group of people on the face of the earth, white people. That's right. White people. You might say, if you're white, you say, well, I'm not a racist. Well, the rest of the world is. You are hated. And Lord, I would like to ask you, if you will, to give us the strength, give us the wisdom, give us the wisdom to know who the enemy is, and give us the willpower to do your will, Lord. And God, if you will, please protect us against the unprecedented assaults that are coming against the white people of the world, especially here in the United States of America, Lord. And Lord, I ask you, Will, to stay with all the people at Blood River Radio, all of our family, all of our friends, stay with everybody on Liberty News Radio, and all of our guests, Lord. And I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. People, like I said, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and we have none other than Sister Monica Schaefer coming on. She's going to kind of ramrod this first hour, and she has a lot of material planned for you. I'll tune in as my voice allows and as she needs me. But Sister Monica's covering, she's riding shotgun for the first hour. The second hour, we'll have Sister Monica hit on. The third hour, We'll have Sister Monica hit and Brother Gene. Sister Monica has to leave the first
Nancy,
hour.
Nancy hit.
Excuse me, Nancy. Excuse me, Nancy hit. Excuse me, y'all. I'm trying to go too fast probably. But listen, I got one more thing to say. I should have said my prayer, and I'm praying right now really in an unorthodox way. Brother Rand Owens, his section of the country down there in Alabama was hit with some vicious tornadoes, and his home place was not hit too bad, but just about 300 yards away is what he's telling me, was total devastation. Took out trailer homes, took out regular homes, barns, leveled the place. He said actually rearranged the landscape down there. So if you will, people, keep Rand and those people down there in Alabama in your prayers. He was supposed to come on today, second hour, but he can't make it, so and that's why. But anyway, without further ado, we'll bring in Sister Monica. How you doing tonight, Sister Monica?
I'm doing great, especially after that compliment you paid me. You know, Nancy and I are sisters in this epic struggle we find ourselves in, sisters in spirit. And so your little faux pas there was actually a compliment to me. Thank you for that. Monica hit. I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I get rolling. And I've always been weak on names. I know this is a quick aside, but I'll make this quick. One of my first jobs I ever had when I came home from across the water from being in the Army, I worked for a veterinarian. And to this day, I can tell you the dog's name that the clients would come in. I can tell you the dog's name. I can tell you how much that dog weighed. I got so good at weighing dogs, guessing weight. The veterinarian wouldn't even ask. He wouldn't weigh the dogs anymore. He would ask me how much the dog weighs. You have to give the medicine to dogs by weight. Same way with humans a lot of times. But anyway, I can remember the dog's name, remember their weight. Couldn't remember the humans that owned their dogs. Couldn't remember their names to save my soul. Anyway, I've shut that up. I know it's a rabbit trail. I'm always going down them. But what are we going to talk about tonight, Sister Monica? What are we going to talk about?
Well, we had talked formerly about doing a little bit of a session on what happened to Germany and, you know, World War II, and then after the hot war was over, and the war that basically continues against Germans at the heart of this, but as you said, the whole white race by extension is in the crosshairs of the Jewish eternal well poisoners, enemy of humankind. So I have this book here called Summer 1945 by Thomas Goodrich. He also is the author of the better known book called Hellstorm, out of which a documentary was also made. And so even just in the prologue here, Germany Must Perish, it's entitled, I've got some really, really good clips that I wouldn't mind reading. And how's my sound level? I'm coming closer to the mic because I noticed it was a bit low.
You're great.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I don't know if turning up the volume on my end here is just for my ears or for my spoken word. But yeah, so, you know, in 1933, and I'm reading out of this book here, after Adolf Hitler came to power, the World Jewish Congress declared economic warfare against Germany, well aware of Hitler's plan to end all Jewish influence in Germany, economically, politically, culturally. Influential Jews in Europe and America engaged in a vast anti-German propaganda campaign. The campaign, said organizer Samuel Untermeyer of the United States, was a, quote, holy war, a war that must be waged unremittingly against a veritable hell of cruel and savage beasts, end of his quote there. So that is how they set about to portray the Germans. And actually, it didn't start just then. It had started well before that, decades before that, in fact, that they always made the Germans out to be these savage, cruel beasts. Okay, so Germans responded in kind. They, you know, citizens were encouraged to not go into Jewish businesses. And they passed a series of laws which were designed to get the Jews out of the German arts, the media, and the professions. And so, and ultimately they wanted to expel them from the nation. Now, expel, not exterminate. This is the big thing that our media like to, they confuse those words. That, you know, they've been telling us all our lives that those evil, bad Germans wanted to exterminate, and then did exterminate 6 million of them in the war. But funny enough, the Jewish Almanac itself gives us population figures before and after the war that are virtually the same. So one wonders, did they have a big baby boom there? But anyway, I digress. So, okay, increasingly, as rumors of widespread persecution against Jews under Nazi control spread, the propaganda campaign directed at Hitler and National Socialism devolved swiftly into a fanatical cry of extermination. Nowhere was hatred more intense than among American Jews. Now, let me just get this straight. We're talking about a fanatical cry of extermination of the Germans, of the Germans. And I'll continue here. This is a quote from Ben Hecht. He was a Hollywood scriptwriter and director. Quote, a cancer flourishes in the body of the world and in its mind and soul. And this cancerous thing is Germany, Germanism, and Germans. That this most clumsy of all human tribes, this leaden-hearted German. I will resume after this first break, Eddie, because this is just amazing. Yes. Yeah.
You're really on fire. Be right, dear people, be right back in just a few minutes. We'll be with my little baby sister, Monica, and we'll be right back. Hang on.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
The Venus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, just in case you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bopper Biller. It's January 14th in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2023. And we're going to we have Sister Monica, and we're going to go right back to her. She's going to finish talking about World War II and how horrible it was for the Germans. Go ahead. Give her his Sister Monica.
Yeah, I was just reading some quotes by some of these Jews who were at the core, the heart, the organizing of this hate campaign against Germans. So, you know, we're always told that we are the haters and everybody hates the Jews. No, no, it's the other way around. They hate us with a passion, with a venom that goes so deep that we don't even understand how deep this goes. We don't really have it in our fiber to hate to that degree. But so we just don't think it's possible. Anyway, the first name that I had mentioned there was Samuel Untermeyer in the United States. He was chief organizer of the campaign of hate against the Germans there. And that was back before the World War II. So right off the bat, after Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933, he was at it then. And then this next quote that I started reading was from Hollywood script writer and director Ben Hecht. Now, think about it. Hollywood, I mean, they make movies and basically shape our reality through those movies. So it's a form of mind control, just all the movies that they make. And we all know, they brag about it, that Hollywood is basically run by Jews. I mean, they are just, you know, crawling all over the place, right? So anyway, this guy, Ben Hecht, I'm going to carry on reading what he said. I mean, he calls the Germans and Germanism and Germany a cancer, right? And then he says that this most clumsy of all human tribes, this leaden-hearted German, should dare to pronounce judgment on his superiors, dare to outlaw from the world the name of Jew, a name that dwarfs him as the tree does the weed at its foot, is an outrageous thing. It is an evil thing. So he is saying it right there, that the Germans, this clumsy of all human tribes, this leaden-hearted German, should dare to pronounce judgment on his superiors, the Jew. I mean, who are they always calling? Oh, if you dare to even wish to survive and have a ensure a future for white children, we are all called white supremacists. No, ladies and gentlemen, it is the opposite. The Jews are the supremacist, you know, like they think they are the supreme people on this earth. And there it is said right there by this Ben Hecht, Hollywood scriptwriter. Yeah. So, and then, okay, I can go on. Germany Must Perish. That's the book by Theodor Kaufmann. He wrote that, I believe it was 1941. And we've talked about that one before on this show. And he had suggested that the Germans be exterminated from the planet by a program of mass sterilization. He figured that, you know, it would take 3 years, 20,000 doctors to do this mass sterilization, and voila, no more Germans. You can rid the world forever of Germanism. And this is quoting now from him, and that is to stem the source from which issue those war-lusted souls by preventing the people of Germany from ever again reproducing their kind. Yeah, so then after years of this and other poisonous propaganda in newspapers, magazines, and movies, eventually, in the minds of a sizable percentage of Americans and Britons, little distinction was drawn between killing a Nazi soldier and killing a German child. On September 15th, 1944, U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt made the demand for extermination official when he endorsed the so-called Morgenthau Plan. And we've talked about that one, yes, also on this show. Do you want to jump in, Eddie, and then I can continue?
Yes, you know what? I was going to make a few. I don't want to interrupt you, but have a lot of points here. You've touched on a lot of them. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about the Germans under Hitler trying to get the Jews out of their... They get embedded into your society like fleas, like ticks. They get embedded so you can't get rid of them. But just there, just like they are here, they owned all the banks. They controlled all the money. They ran the universities. Anybody that had a civil service job after the First World War were Jews. That's one thing that Hitler noticed. He noticed that. And also, I'd like to point this out. When they were trying to get them out, when Hitler was trying to get them out of Germany, this is something a lot of people don't know. There's this thing called the transfer agreement. And there was a book written on that. I didn't get to read it, the whole thing, but it's by written by a Jew, of all people. And the Jew's last name was Black. I don't remember his first name, but it's the author is Black. They wrote a thing called The Transfer Agreement. And the World Jewish Society, Jewish Congress that you talked about, they made a deal with Hitler and the Germans that they would help him. They would work in cohesion, synchronization program to get the Jews out of Germany, to get them into Palestine. And the Germans gave them a lot of money. They let these Jews take their possessions with them, their money, their treasures, their clothes, anything they wanted. The Germans, I don't know if you know this, Monica, but the German nation actually gave them money, these Jews money. They set them up with agricultural equipment, clothing, medical supplies to take them to Palestine. Well, what Jews do, like they always do, they stabbed the Germans and Adolf Hitler in the back. They reneged on everything. You know, he did that in an effort to try to get this world boycott off of Germany is the reason he did it. Well, they took everything they could possibly loot and steal, everything they could steal. They took it and everything that the German people would give them, and they still stabbed the Germans in the back and tried to bring that nation down. You mentioned this Samuel Untermyer. You know, there's a Untermyer Park, and this is kind of a rabbit trail, in New York. We had a fellow named Jim Rothstein on, Inspector Jim Rothstein, and he set up this sting in Untermyer Park, and it resulted in arresting this serial killer by the name of Son of Sam. And some people call him the 44 Bulldog Killer. But Rothstein was first brought to this park, and it's funny, it's his Jewish name park, Samuel Untermyer Park. And he got a tip off. I got to make this quick. He was tipped off that there was all kinds of animals being butchered there in this little park, with small dogs, cats, whatever. And they were doing what they were doing. They were doing animal sacrifices there to Satan. And you can research this. Well, if he's not dead, we'll try to get him on the program soon. But that's what when you said Untermyer, that jogged my memory. And one more thing before I shut up and go back to you. Here's one reason I think that the Jews have always hated Germany so bad since 1500s. It's because Martin Luther, it just so happens I'll follow. I think Martin Luther had it right on the money. He was solely, as far as I'm concerned, he was the man with the Protestant Reformation. He ratted out the crap that was going on in the Catholic Church, you know, the horrible stuff that was going on in the Catholic Church. They were selling penances, and it was just pitiful. But and he also named the Jew. He named the Jew. I can't remember the name of the book that he wrote, but it was something like The Jews and Their Lies. He nailed a man. But and hate, you mentioned hate. That's one more thing. You nailed it, Monica. People, good white people, white Christians, you can't imagine how much they hate you. And that's, Monica, I think the hardest thing we got, one of the biggest missions we have in life is to get these people, white Christians, to wake them up some kind of a way and realize we're not just anti-Semitic, we're not racist, we're trying to save them from this satanic hatred. And it is these Jews, it is a satanic hatred. Don't believe us, believe Jesus Christ Almighty. Read the Bible. I'm not going to quote these scriptures like we quoted 100 times before, but they are their father, the devil, and that's why they hate white people and why they hate Christians so bad, Monica. Hope I didn't go too long.
Oh, no, this is great. First of all, I just want to comment about that Untermyer Park. I didn't know about that, and I don't know this for sure because I didn't even know about that park, but I would not doubt it, not for one split second, that they named that park for this particular Samuel Untermyer, who wanted to wage a holy war against this veritable hell of cruel and savage beasts, i.e. the Germans, you see? So, yeah, they put their own on a pedestal and name parks and beautiful places after them, and they also topple monuments and they erase our history, don't they? And this is what they do, and they celebrate their own satanic tribe. So and I hear the music coming on, so we'll resume after the break.
Yes, once again, you nail some point. People will be right back.
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Five more classified documents were found at President Biden's Delaware home. Aides to the president made the announcement today. New York Times correspondent Charlie Savage says the new discovery is raising more questions.
That fits this larger critique that the White House has been reticent to put out everything they know about this. They kept sat on it for almost 3 months, and then only when there was a leak did they acknowledge it on Monday.
About 24 classified documents have been found in total. Five people are dead, 15 more rescued after Russia launched a major missile strike on Ukraine today. The deaths occurred when a 9-story apartment block was destroyed. At least 9 people have been confirmed dead after tornadoes ripped through Alabama and Georgia this week. Worst of the damage in downtown Selma, Alabama, where Amber Johnson lives and survived with her 1-year-old son.
I moved some covers to the bathtub and grabbed some stuffed animals for the baby, and we were playing on my phone, and I heard a noise, and I just picked him up and leaned over him and told him to hold on to mommy.
The death toll could rise as search and recovery efforts continue. California's governor speaking to the tragedies that have unfolded in parts of his storm-ravaged state and talking about the challenges ahead.
Governor Gavin Newsom told a group in Santa Barbara Friday the storms should not come as such a shock. In fact, he said it's something some people have known about for some time.
These atmospheric rivers, a few years ago, no one heard an atmospheric river. There was just some scientists down at Scripps saying, hey, you should pay attention to this thing.
He said Californians are resourceful and resilient, noting they also realize a lot of things need to change, including water infrastructure. So far, the storms have claimed the lives of 19 people. I'm Ryan Daniels.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams visiting Texas this weekend as New York struggles to deal with the large number of asylum seekers that have traveled to the Big Apple. New York looking for state and federal help in dealing with the nearly 40,000 migrants that have made their way to New York. This is USA News.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Cappell here, serial entrepreneur. Let's make sure your current payroll provider isn't overcharging you, shall we? First, go to your payroll provider's website to see what you're currently paying. Oh, what's that? You can't clearly see your pricing because your vendor is running a temporary sale or making you call for a free quote? That's unfortunate. If you go to PatriotSoftware.com, you will instantly see our payroll pricing for companies with 1 to 100 employees. Well, there you go. At least now you know what you should be paying for payroll. Go to PatriotSoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back to Sister Monica without further ado because she is on the roll. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Okay, I'll continue with this Morgenthau plan. Now, we have talked about this before, but people can be forgiven for getting them all mixed up because there were many plans for the destruction and genocide of the German people. You know, you might remember the names Pfizer, the Pfizer plan, and the Kutenhof-Kalergi plan, and so Morgenthau, as I just said, and what other ones? There's numerous. Oh, Kaufman, of course, Kaufman, Theodore Kaufman, and there's a few others, but I'll just go on with detailing what the Morgenthau plan was about. And this Morgenthau character was a high-up guy, and he was Roosevelt's Secretary of the Treasury. And this plan was actually conceived by the Secretary's top aide, Harry Dexter White, but both of these men were Jewish. And this program called for the complete destruction of Germany after the victory had been won. Think about that. So they're heading, you know, towards the end of the war. They know that they're going to be victorious, militarily speaking, over Germany. I mean, you've got Germany being attacked on all sides and prolonged for years and years and got all this Jewish money behind the Allies, the Allies. So yeah, Germany was absolutely demolished. And then they want to destroy Germany after this victory. Think about it. So in addition to the dismantling or destruction of German industry and the permanent closure of mines, the Morgenthau Plan called for a reduction of the Reich's land area by one half. As many calculated, and as Roosevelt and General George C. Marshall and other proponents of the plan well knew, this act guaranteed that roughly two-thirds of the German population, or 50 million people, would soon die of starvation. And with the remnant of the population reduced to subsistence farming, and with the shrunken nation totally at the mercy of hostile European neighbors, it was estimated that within two generations, Germany would cease to exist. Okay, and then Roosevelt tells Henry Morgenthau, Henry, I am with you 100%. That's what he assured his Treasury Secretary. And they have asked for it, snapped Morgenthau when someone expressed shock at the plan. Why the hell should I worry about what happens to their people? These are quotes. And then, you don't want the Germans to starve? Roosevelt's incredulous son-in-law asked the president in private. Why not? Replied Roosevelt without batting an eye. In fact, the American president had even greater plans for those Germans who were not starved to death or otherwise murdered. Quote, we have got to be tough with Germany, and I mean the German people, not just the Nazis, Roosevelt privately assured Henry Morgenthau. You either have to castrate the German people or you have got to treat them in such a manner so they can't go on reproducing. Okay, and then the next part here. The German is a beast, agreed Dwight D. Eisenhower, Supreme Yes. Allied Commander in Europe. I'll let you jump in, Eddie, please.
I was going to say, yeah, you know, we covered this several years ago. A lot of most people that listen to our show, well, I'll say most, a lot of people know that Eisenhower, well, guess what? He was a Jew. In the West Point yearbook, his nickname was the Swedish Jew. And he absolutely did hate, he despised the German people, just like all Jews do. I've never seen one that didn't despise the German people. You know, he was big buddies with Stalin, too. So the guy, you know, he loved Stalin. In my opinion, he was a big-time communist. And the evidence will show that. And you mentioned another guy, too, Miles. You mentioned this Harry Dexter White. I'm 90% sure that he was convicted later. I have to research this. He was also instrumental in smuggling the secrets to the atomic bomb to the Soviets. So these Jews, and he was a Jew, as Morgenthau was a Jew, then the, you know, FDR's cabinet was just loaded, was infested with Jews. I guess Jews have been infested. And especially the State Department. The State Department is like a rat's nest of Jews. It's just loaded with them. Has been, I guess, since 1900, 1905. But you're 100% right there. There was something else I was going to mention. Oh, this guy you were talking about, what's his name? I think Ben Heck was putting out all these horrible statements about German people, about how they should not, how dare them to judge their betters. Well, you know, he's just speaking the language that comes out of this Babylonian Talmud. People think, a lot of people, I'll make this quick and I want to hog the thing, but a lot of people, a lot of our people, they're so naive, bless their heart, they think that Jews, that religious Jews, they go by the Old Testament. And I forgot what they call them, what the first six books of the Old Testament, they go by that, the Pentateuch or whatever, but they don't. Most Jews, believe it or not, are actually atheists. That's the God's truth. Most Jews in Israel, it's been proven, most of them are atheists. But they go by this Babylonian Talmud, Malachi. You're probably familiar with this. That when the Jews were taken into captivity in Babylon eons ago, they started associating with the Babylonians, taking up their customs, you know, fitting into the Babylonian society real well. And when they were captured there, all their rabbis developed all these sayings, these mannerisms, and they published it in the book. So the book that the Jews worship is not from the Bible that we know. It's not from the Old Testament, the New Testament, or any of the ancient scrolls. It's a group. It's just a bunch of theories and beliefs that these old Jewish rabbis have come up with. And they're the ones, and I'm going to shut up after I say this. If you go into the Talmud, you can go in there, and it'll say these nice, sweet little things like, Jesus Christ, well, they said he was a bastard child. He was born of a Roman prostitute. She was impregnated. Mary was a Roman prostitute. She was impregnated by a Roman soldier. And they said that Jesus Christ is in hell forever, boiling in his excrement and semen in hell forever. That's not me saying it. That's not us saying it. That is their Babylonian Talmud. They say the Babylonian Talmud said you can do anything. There's nothing you can do to a Gentile. This is sin. They said it's okay to have sex, to rape a 2-year-old, 3-year-old girl. It goes on and on. It says that white people, Christian people, They're equivalent to the feces of a donkey, of a jackass. They call it offal. That's the gotcha. And I'll shut up right there. That should be enough to turn anybody. But don't take my word for it. Try, if you can, find a Babylonian Talmud. But every stinking synagogue in the United States has a Babylonian Talmud in there, Miss Monica.
Yeah, and these days with the internet, you can find passages or, you know, the Talmud, you can do this research. The internet really is a game changer. I know they're clamping down hard with censorship and whatnot, but that's because they're in panic mode, because we are discovering the truth about it. So the fellow you were talking about, Ben Hecht, that was that Hollywood scriptwriter, I think that's who you were talking about, who talks about, you know, how dare the Germans pronounce judgment on their superiors, the Jew, right? So everything turned on its head. You know, they're calling us white supremacists if we dare to want to survive, let alone just to live and actually have children that survive and live. We're just automatically, I mean, that Noel Ignatieff, that professor who is no longer alive now, but he spelled it out really clearly that, you know, whiteness is basically bad, and we have to erase whiteness from the face of this earth, you know. So, yeah, it's everything is reversed when they accuse us of hating or hatred or racism. No, it's the other way around, that the Jews are the most supremacist group of people there are, and they hate us with a passion. But, you know, what happened? Well, actually, just to go up, to address this thing that Roosevelt said privately to Henry Morgenthau about, you either have to castrate the German people or you have got to treat them in such a manner so they cannot go on reproducing. Now, what they have done with their re-education program is exactly that, because Germany, it's changing now, but Germany has been turned into a nation of self-hating people who loathe their own people, who want nothing to do with their own culture anymore because they feel that their parents or grandparents, you know, were evil and killed all these Jews, and that they feel themselves that they are bad, bad, bad because of this re-education program. And actually white people in general, you know, we've got this guilt cult that has been put onto us by all the lies that are told, and that we do everything bad and we're good for nothing. And so that has caused that. Those are the conditions to this, you know, low reproduction that's going on right now in actually all white nations, I would argue. And I do hear the music.
Yep. And when we come back, we got a few notes that Rich sent us in, our buddy Rich Hamblin. And plus, I got to make an announcement I forgot to make when we first started the show. Be right back, folks. Hang on.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey? Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I got to make another announcement. Listen, our website, thank God we got it back. We have a webmaster you would not believe. You would not believe his credentials. I just found out a short time ago myself. But he's been doing his thing, keeping us up. And my website, we've got it going again. We had to change servers, whatever you do. I forgot what he called that stuff. The guy's really, really brilliant. Also, I have a new phone. And I don't know what's going on with it, but I'm getting text. I'm going to let people usually text me. I've been missing text messages. I'm getting some. They're like 3 and 4 days old. I don't know what's going on with that. The only time I've had any problem like that was when we came back from Charlottesville. But then I think I had an old flip top, but it just went completely nuts. My phone here, I'm getting late text messages, late phone calls. So some of that, and I get a lot of people, like for instance, Biscuit in Florida. We got James in Washington, D.C. Oh, excuse me, not Washington, D.C., but Washington State. These people text me all the time. If I'm not returning your stuff, don't get mad at me and everything, because it looks like it's back working. I have no clue what happened to it. Maybe Jay would know. I don't know. But anyway, that's just the announcement I wanted to make there, Miss Monica. I don't want people to know to think that I was ignoring them. And our archives should be working again. Lord knows we've worked our tail off. We had to go to another site and all this kind of stuff. I'm not a tech guy, but back to you, Sister Monica. You said you had another point you wanted to make.
Well, yeah, the last thing I was talking about is this re-education. And I'll just say, here's how it started right after the end of World War II. This happened at Auschwitz, I know that, but here's a little excerpt in this book again. And it's talking about the Belsen concentration camp. So let me just see where I can start this quote. "You must expect to atone with toil and sweat for what your children have committed and for what you have failed to prevent," warned one Allied spokesman on camera, as horrified German civilians were forced to parade in penance through the Belsen concentration camp. "A place like Belsen was," the man continued, "such a disgrace to the German people that their name must be erased from the list of civilized nations." And then, given the circumstances, the fate of those Germans living near this and other concentration camps was as tragic as it was perhaps predictable. After compelling the people to view the bodies, and remember, there would have been a lot of dead bodies, because in the final months of the war, food was no longer getting through, supplies were no longer getting through. Some of these camps had their sanitary facilities bombed by the Allies. All this was because of the war, the bombs dropping on Germany. So things were not functioning anymore in Germany, not just in these camps, but for all the German people, they were suffering. And so, yeah, there were a lot of dead bodies around at the end of the war. I just wanted to interject that. Okay, so after compelling the people to view the bodies, American and British officers forced men, women, and children to dig up with their hands the rotting remains and haul them to burial pits, wrote a witness at one camp, quote, all day long, always running, men and women alike, from the death pile to the death pit, with the stringy remains of their victims over their shoulders. When one of them dropped to the ground with exhaustion, he was beaten with a rifle butt. When another stopped for a break, she was kicked until she ran again or prodded with a bayonet to the accompaniment of lewd shouts and laughs. When one tried to escape or disobeyed an order, he was shot. I'll just end that quote there, Eddie. But you see, the Germans were already beaten to a pulp. Long years of war had really just demolished that country. And then afterwards, they were paraded through and forced to do these kinds of things, what I just read. I mean, how much trauma can somebody take without really going insane? And then they were blamed for this, which was not their fault, that there were dead bodies there, like I just explained. And then they were blamed for things that they never did, like these you know, gas chambers, which never existed, nobody ever found, nobody could draw one, nobody could find even a plan for one, never a plan for any extermination. No, these were work camps. So, and then when the Germans could not even mourn their own dead because, you know, like Dresden, for example, the official number now is 25,000, when really it's 10 times or 20 times that number that really died there. So, okay, I'll stop now. I'll pause. It's just when you learn about these things, it is just so beyond. The injustice is just so beyond. And yeah, I'll let you talk now, Eddie. I'm just all worked up right now.
And you should be. All white people, all Christians should be. All every white person, especially you, Miss Monica, because and you know, you are direct. Your ancestry comes right from Germany, probably the greatest country there ever was. Probably the greatest country, the greatest people there's ever lived, especially in mathematics, in chemistry. Anything to do with manufacturing and steel, with scientific achievements. For instance, the Germans developed the rocket, I've been told, this may be kind of an aside, I don't have an evidence, but my brother-in-law, rest his soul, he was 20 years older than me, that would make him, if he was alive, he'd be 95. His older brother was in the Air Force in the Second World War, and he said that they found after the war, he was a colonel. He was a colonel in the American Air Force. He was able to go into places, probably in some of the caves in Bavaria, and they found things that were just, they were astounded. They had one aircraft in a museum, and listen, I'm not being real specific about this because I don't remember the specific details. I have all this knowledge, but it's kind of a broad knowledge without details. But he said they couldn't figure out what the hell kind of aircraft this was, and it took them years. They finally figured out. It was stealth. The Germans were developing stealth technology at the end of the war. And they, you know, it took the Americans forever to figure out what the hell it was, but they had the stealth technology. And this is kind of a side, too. Incidentally, Rich sent something in earlier. In the first five books that I was struggling to remember with the name of, it's called The Torah. And this Untermeyer dude, the stinking Jew he is, he was the one. Schofield never really got to mention meet this guy named Darby. There was a guy named Darby. He was, I'm going way back in memory. He was one of these renegade heretic ministers in Scotland. I believe he was probably even run out of Scotland. He had a very, very small following and never got off the ground. Didn't get off the ground for a long time. But anyway, it's Untermeyer is the one. He's the one that got that. Schofield was never able to meet Darby in Scotland. Untermeyer was the one who took the Jew. Untermeyer is the one who took him under. He took Darby, took Schofield under his wing. He got the Oxford Press to print this brand new Bible, this new and improved Bible called the Schofield Bible, and it's pretty much like I say, the Schofield Bible. Schofield, he's the one that came out with this Jewish dispensationalist stuff that Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back, and I make fun of my Bible friends and my Baptist friends. You know, we've all heard about the second coming. Well, the Baptists believe there's going to be a third coming and a fourth coming. It's called this rapture. You know, Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to take these good Christians off to heaven. Then he's going to come back every now and then, check on the Jews that are left on earth and the people who hadn't converted over yet. to Christianity. He's going to check on them. But some kind of a way, the Jews are finally going to come around. They're going to finally accept Jesus Christ. And Jesus is never going to, God, he's never going to ever let turn loose of these Jews. They're going to be converted over. And anyway, the whole Bible is wrapped around and focused on the Jews from beginning to end. And like I just like to say one more time, if you ever talk to one of these hardcore Baptists, they don't quote the Bible. They don't like to do that. I like this quote, Schofield's notes, and in a summary, the Schofield dude left his wife, left his children. He was taken under the wing, the wings of these rich Jews, and the rest is history. It's what you got. You got the Jew worshiping Bible, and that's pretty much. But you know, Miss Monica, to this day, and I know I'm repeating myself, but our hardest chore is to get this history, it's supposed to be history, out and to expose the so-called Holocaust. For what it is, a whole hoax. It never happened. And to expose all the lies that have been told about the German people. That, you know, for instance, that the Germans are the ones that started the war when they quite plainly did not. And you so rightfully indeed. So, you right off the back in the first of this hour, you talked about the World Jewish Congress declaring war on the German people. Because, and I've got to make this quick, after the First World War, the Germans wasn't too long after that, they were starving to death. They were just crushed with these reparation payments they couldn't possibly pay. So they had to they had to print this money out. They had just to keep the printing presses running wide open. Inflation got so bad, it may be an oversimplification, but the German wives would have to go to where their husbands were working and get their paychecks as soon as they could get their hands on them because inflation was so bad. Prices were rising by the day. Hitler came along.
Yeah, Eddie, I know this hour is almost done and I'm going to leave, but I know you like to talk about solutions, so I'm just going to shift gears just for this last minute or so that we have. Because, but you're right. I don't mean to interrupt what you're saying, because World War One did lead directly to World War Two, and this the conditions they put on Germany were just impossible after World War One. So, yes, what they are attached, those two wars. It's like the modern-day 30-year war. But what I wanted to say, and it relates directly to something that we talked about earlier in terms of this re-education and the guilt cult and making us all hate ourselves and not have children. So if we're talking about solutions, I would say the number one solution to you young people out there who are still able, have children, make babies, get married, have babies, make children. This is really, we don't talk about that often enough, but really what better way of going forward into the future? I mean, this is what life is about. And if we don't have babies, which is what they've done generation after generation, they've put some kind of a fear over our heads. When I was young, it was the nuclear threat, and many people chose not to put children into the world because they felt it was just so hopeless because of this looming nuclear threat. Now, that was decades ago. And then there's always the new threat of something, doom and gloom. And this is what the Jews wish us to have. Now, I know that things are pretty rough out there right now, and it's going to get pretty tumultuous this year, and we already are seeing very difficult times. But hey, you can continue living. Create communities where you are. Know your farmer, know your neighbors, grow food, make babies. I mean, this is really what life is about, and that would be my little parting words for this hour anyway. And then thanks for having me on again, Eddie, and I wish you well for the rest of the program here today, and I know I'll see you again soon. See you.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Hear you.
I couldn't have made it without you because my lungs are actually burning. I guess I've been running too much out in the cold wind, but thank you for coming in and throwing me that lifeline. Thank you so much, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week, the 21st. Well, people,
okay,
hang on. Transistor. Oh, go ahead.
Thanks again.
You're very welcome. People, we're transitioning to the second hour. We're going to pick up Big Sister, Nancy Hitt. And I'm glad. I hope she has a lot because my old lungs are really burning. Be right back, folks.